blessings of love and respect we offer to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi Saranam Gacchami, Dityampi Tatyampi Savaha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Dharma Saranam Gacchami, Dityampi Tatyampi Savaha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Sangam Saranam Gacchami, Dityampi Tatyampi Savaha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, Gamini Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo prajna paramita hiridaya, homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion. By compassionate aspiration that harms no one. By compassionate speech that makes for clarity. By compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret. By compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit. By compassionate endeavor that results in goodness. By compassionate mindfulness that proves this path. By compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts, the precept of restraint and religious observances, the precept of obedience to all good laws, the precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 great prohibited precepts. Not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so. Not to take that which is not given. Not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct. Not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority. Not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so. Not to publish other people's faults. Not to extol oneself and slander others. Not to be avaricious in the soul of the teachings. Not to be angry. Not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever-expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Oh, happy, blessed day. Oh, happy, blessed place. Oh, happy, blessed time. Oh, happy, blessed path. Oh, happy, blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings, dutyampi tatyampi sabaha. Again and yet again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness. suffering, if ending suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If ending suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, so we can drop that and end suffering.
What should we look at this morning? Jen?
I've been looking at a number of things, but the one I wanted to explore this morning some more, because it's one of those, I'm seeing some things about it, but they're kind of out here. Mm-hmm. They haven't come into focus. But looking at the focus of attention, specifically with administrative work. And so, as I say, I saw the edges, I think of a really big piece of it. So it really ebbs and flows. I'm sure it does for everybody. The amount of information there is, or sort of the details to track, and then the time to track them in.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And it seems to me, at least for me, that as there's an inverse relationship. As the details increase, the time to track them decreases.
It sure seems like that, doesn't it?
And so it's such a fascinating process that happens of... it's like a first shocker response to it, like a survival response. But I was really looking at it, not so much from like a truly afraid, but it's like the analogy that dropped in, the energy of it feels like walking into really, really cold water, and that like, you know, you can't catch your breath kind of thing. And when the piece of it where it feels like the suffering happens is that when there are trillions of details, and then there's that kind of like response, because it's like, I have no idea which one to attend to, mm-hmm. in which order. Mm-hmm. And what it feels like is to attend to bring the attention truly here to the present moment and fully attend to one of them. From a conditioned perspective, it's like spitting in the wind. You know, so like, what's the point? And so, all of the attention remains on the...
instead of on what actually has to happen.
And there's no room to just let it go, mm-hmm. and attend to this thing. And this thing, which of course is the only thing one can do.
Yeah, but it makes sense, because you can only do things one at a time
anyway.
So you might as well just focus on one thing at a time instead of everything and the overwhelm that goes with that.
So what I was seeing is, as I was reporting about it, I heard myself say, it really feels like in those instances, ego is in charge of where the attention goes. And then I just had this thing dropped in of like, actually, I wonder if in some sense, in a much more subtle way, ego's always doing that, but when there's enough time for all the details, it's not obvious. And I'll see if I can describe it. What I saw was, it's like there's this process of the attention going, the attention is most likely to go to the thing that's karmically habitual. Like something that is interesting to me, will reflect me in a certain way, will make me feel a certain way, all these things.
Mm-hmm.
All these things that are good for conditioning.
Mm-hmm.
And that when there's plenty of time for everything, that doesn't really show up. But I bet it's still happening.
Because right.
There's, you know, okay, I can go do that thing that's interesting to me, and then that thing, and then that thing, and then okay, now there's this thing, and this thing, and this thing. And it all gets done, and it's tidy, and no problem.
Mm-hmm.
But when there's that lots going on, then it's more difficult. And actually, another interesting clue, stop me if I'm saying too much.
Go for it.
Another interesting clue is that, so there's that place where there's plenty of time for everything, and then there's the place where there's only time for a very clear thing, and the suffering doesn't happen there either. So for example, if we're on retreat, it's so clear. It's completely clear what needs to happen. The retreat and everything else. There's no conversation about like, you know, oh, what about this and what about that? It's just like, it doesn't matter. I don't care. It'll be next week. It doesn't even pull my attention. It's just retreat.
Yeah, well, that one, a conscious decision has been made.
Yeah.
About where the attention needs to be.
Which I don't think is conscious, but you're right. It is a conscious decision, but I don't think I've ever really put the pieces together, realized
right.
that.
Yeah, and if I understand what you're saying, so there's that, so there could be the place where there's plenty of space and it's not really a problem here.
Right.
Your sense is that maybe ego in some ways is making choices in there, but it doesn't show up.
Doesn't show up.
And then there's the one where essentially a decision has already been made about where the tension's going to be.
Yeah.
Not really a problem there. So the middle place is the challenge where there is space for some choices to be made, but it lacks that, it's kind of like it lacks that big picture. Like with a retreat, you've got a big picture that says, you know, the only thing that can't be attended to is the retreat, and
right.
so that's where all the attention needs to go.
And just not to stop you, but I just saw when you said that was, it's just like facilitation,
mm-hmm.
where the stakes are high enough that, I mean, sure, you could sit on a facilitation cushion and go, well, I wonder about what I'm going to eat next week, but you're not going to do it.
Or we could be on a retreat and you could decide you're going to go check out, see if the West End is still there.
Yeah, exactly. You know, oh, what about that project? You know, we've been talking about the tree trimming, so let me see about, and that's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let me see if I'm with you. So that middle place, so you're saying that you feel like in the middle place, ego is making some decisions, like things that are most interesting to you or grab your attention or these kind of things that are good for ego.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and that's kind of where the suffering is, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, exactly, mm-hmm. exactly. And it's almost like, as I really started to watch it, it's that really interesting place. I think the place Sherry talks about of having a front row seat, like it's all still going on, but I'm really able to see it. And it's like this, watching myself do these things of like, okay, I have 30 minutes, and there's this thing that really, really needs to happen. And then watch myself go to do something else. And it's like this panic of like, oh, don't do that. Don't do that. But it's still happening. It's this very eerie thing, you know? And sort of like, almost like playing an awareness game of just letting it happen anyway, you know, but just seeing it. Although that makes it sound more deliberate than it is, because there isn't sort of a like, well, let's just let this happen and see what, that makes it sound very standing back from it, but there is really a sense of watching that person go, and it's like someone else is like, oh God, don't do that.
Yeah, it's interesting. It really is like watching somebody else. For some reason, I just keep, just because you mentioned the first shot for survival thing, you know, I keep thinking about the first snow is coming. I've got to get the food in. You know, I've got to get the crops harvested.
Yeah.
And then, and that last piece is, and I'm sort of trapped inside, looking through the window, watching the person who's supposed to do that, wander around
exactly.
doing these other things.
I don't really feel like it. I don't really want it. Because it's not the thing that I want to do. It's not the thing that's going to interest me, that lights me up, that makes me feel the way I want to feel. It just has to be done.
Mm-hmm.
And to that's a really good image for it. And just to watch the snow come down. And it's like,
Help.
Exactly. It's like, I wonder if we're just going to starve in here. And just not do it. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So it's been a fascinating place to look.
Yeah, well, that person who is making those other choices without the big picture doesn't have an idea, doesn't understand the stakes or the consequences, really.
Yeah.
Am I right? That person is a much, much smaller
perspective. I think it has to be ego. Mm-hmm. I almost think it has to be, yeah.
So it's not so much a, just like an innocent, like a person who's innocent but kind of clueless about how things are ordered.
Right.
It's more like an intentional sabotage on the part of conditioning.
I think maybe both things are in there. I mean, I suppose it could be some little person who's like, I want to eat the candy,
mm-hmm.
Without the larger mentoring perspective of who could blame you.
Right.
But we're not going to do that.
It's not good for your teeth.
You know. Mm-hmm. But boy, it does feel like there's a sabotage element to it. Because it's such a perfect suffering lock.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
how to create a day. Because, you know, my life right now, for the most part, is very relaxed, very anxiety-free, which says a lot for the karma that this person works with,
mm-hmm.
Even when there's a lot going on. So how to get that back in place? Push things to where going to have to race. I mean, going to have to race and not have the time to do it, and not do it in a way that feels good. And
I see. Let me see if this is what you mean. That's actually the karmic solution for it, is to have it be where it really does feel like life and death, and you just have to kind of push and race through it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, without that, it doesn't support karma.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't support karma just to go through in an orderly way and do what needs to be done.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to kind of create that scenario. So a good way of doing that is to kind of wander around until it's too late to do it in a kind of orderly way, and you kind of have to blast through it that way.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Mm-hmm. That reminds me of, I was talking to someone about it and got the encouragement to watch the steps that lead up to it.
Mm-hmm.
Because of course, I mean, one very effective place to work with it, and it is a place I'm working with it, feels like it's necessary in order to back it up, is in that place of it's all come to a head. Just unconditional love and acceptance.
Right.
Okay, good.
Not giving the condition the payoff.
Exactly.
Which would probably be some kind of self-hate or feeling.
Yeah, exactly. That's mm-hmm. such a good way to put it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so what's the worst that could happen? Completely unprepared for X, Y, and Z, which mm-hmm. in parentheses almost never happens anyway.
Right.
Really, it just doesn't, you mm-hmm. know. So that's good to see. But having that unconditional love and acceptance in that place where, you know, it all hits the fan allows, as you say, you know, no payoff, so able to step back from
right.
it, able to see the steps that are leading up to it.
If you're not getting the payoff, there's not really a reason to do it.
Exactly,
mm-hmm.
exactly, yeah. So anyway, what I've recorded about and kind of what I'm going to experiment with, you know, in the next whatever period of time is really, really listening to life's priorities. Mm-hmm. And that can feel esoteric to me sometimes when we talk about like,
mm-hmm.
but really in the place where there's so many details, as I say, and they're flying, and there isn't the time to put them all neatly on a list and decide where they go, which is what the karma wants to do.
Mm-hmm.
Just stop for like, okay, everyone just stop for mm-hmm. however long it takes me to get my list all neat and tidy, and now we're good.
Now we're feeling good.
Now we can start again, and mm-hmm. it's all on top of it. But that doesn't happen in these times. So I just, this place of just throwing it all up in the air with a huge faith and trust of like, okay, I let it all go. Drop it in. What's the next one?
Mm-hmm.
That one? Good. Okay, now mm-hmm. what's the next one? Good. Got it. What's the next one? And be willing to drop the ball, make a mistake, not be prepared. And actually, those are really good places to practice that unconditional love and acceptance.
Yeah.
Because, of course, behind that, gosh, it's really both things, isn't it? Behind that is the belief that I do have to have it all lined up in a certain way to be good, to be perfect, to be loved.
Mm-hmm.
And then, meanwhile, there's the karma attempting to do everything it can to tell me that, to tell me it has to be lined up in a certain way and make sure it doesn't happen.
It's an interesting version of what's the most interesting for me.
Uh-huh.
It's just on a different level.
Say more.
Well, not interesting in that case, but what serves the conditioned self?
Yes.
Having everything in order really serves the conditioned self.
Yes.
And so what you're practicing,
yeah.
in what the comparison I was making was between that and, well, there's all these things to do. I'm going to choose the one that I want to do.
Right.
So, but it's the same kind of thing, just more of an organizational level.
Yeah.
So what you're practicing is, you're not just throwing all the details up in the air, but you're kind of throwing the process up in the air too.
Yeah. That's
so that you can, you so that you're not feeding ego through the way that you're doing it.
Exactly.
But exploring We're not even, I don't know if I could say exploring, because that implies sort of an intentionality too. You're just kind of giving it over.
Right.
And just creating space for it to happen in a different way.
And that's perfect what you just said, because as I was recording and writing about it, I was saying, gosh, what is the way that's least supportive to an ego I to approach this?
Yeah.
And that's it. You know, that place of, because on, you're right, on all levels, on the what's most interesting to me, what process makes me feel okay, on all levels, it's completely turning that over. Mm-hmm. And just, that's the thing, of what's life's priority. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter how it makes me feel or what it is, because the thing is that what I'm really seeing is those aren't the things that most interest me. That's not in the deepest, deepest place for the being. Mm-hmm. What's most interesting, compelling, is that place of peace, mm-hmm. that place of love, and where life works in the biggest sense. Not everything goes the way I want it to go, and it, you know, all the pieces line up, but it works in that just deep sense of the perfection of life.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? Because the karmic process has the potential to work
it does.
On a detail level.
Yeah.
But it doesn't work for the person.
No.
The other one has the potential to not work.
Yes.
Theoretically, yes. Although probably, you know, if you're in line with life, probably will work. And yeah. It might not work in the same way the condition looks at it.
You have to have that flexibility in order to constantly pivot. Because if we have any idea of how it's going to work, then the first thing that doesn't look that way, there's going to be resistance to it. And then it's back to the how I want it to work instead of how it works for life.
Yeah, it seems like the other thing that what you're saying will really take care of. I know this place well for myself too, of seeing kind of what needs to be done or how it needs to be done, and then seeing that that's not the choices that are being made.
Uh-huh.
That's a really scary place.
Uh-huh.
Kind of, it kind of feels like out of control.
That's the panic, you know, right? Is that what you're saying? Like the person in the house with the snow falling.
Yeah, exactly. It's like I'm powerless.
Yeah.
And, you know, because
it's me, but I'm powerless.
Yeah, because there's this whole other process happening that's bigger than the, than kind of the decision-making power of the person who's, you know, trapped behind the window.
Yeah.
And it just feels like what you're saying takes care of that too, because there doesn't need to be a... It doesn't mean you really need to be a decision-making process.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be kind of anybody in charge of it, and so it can just go.
Yeah. You know, that's really good. And last thing, and then we'll turn it over. But because what I just heard in that was that first step in AA, where, because there's that place of, like, the snow's falling, it's me. I'm the one who needs to go out there, and I'm not going out there.
Mm-hmm.
So it feels like this is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
This is, like, but it isn't. It literally is that place of admitting that we're powerless.
That's the first step I was trying to remember.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, admitting that we're powerless. And in this, it's a very powerful powerless to me to look to realize that, because what that highlights is, oh, that isn't me. That isn't me standing in that cabin as the snow's falling, needing to go get the food. That's ego I.
Mm-hmm.
And the minute we realize that, we surrender, we turn it over, then we're life, and there's all the willingness or whatever in the world to go do what needs to be done.
Yeah, I saw that too. Neither one of them is the authentic person. The one inside the house or the one out diddling around in the snow.
Right.
Yeah, and there's kind of a, it seems like the one inside the house is the really me, and this one is some imposter who is kind of taking over.
Taking over, yeah.
But they're in cahoots, kind of. They're part of the same thing.
Yeah, the two sides as well.
Let's see, Penny.
Well, that was fascinating. I can certainly relate to that process. I'm just thinking the number of times, you know, the classic for me is I'm going to do that, but I'm just going to check email one more time.
One more time.
And I have no interest. I have no interest in email. And I sit down and check email one more time.
Well, something like that is really, it's really kind of startling, isn't it? Because to know that in any other circumstances, checking in would be the last thing I would do. But suddenly now I have to do this before this other thing.
That's helpful. That's my sort of instance where I was relating to all those things said. But I noticed something this morning on a call that I just found helpful, so I want to say it again so I get it. The focus of the call this morning, if we chose to, was the Musings article, which talked about the process of acceptance. And what I saw was that much of what I have called acceptance is not the practicing the process of acceptance. Mm-hmm. And when I saw it, what is typical for me is, so say I see somebody doing something that I don't approve of, which happens all the time. Mm-hmm. and so what I often do is sort of go to putting myself in that person's shoes, you know.
Okay.
I can see where not only see why they would do that, I see how I do that too.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But what I was seeing in that is what I'm really doing is finding a reason to accept,
mm-hmm.
which is totally different from practicing the process of acceptance.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't really gotten that distinction.
Yeah, what if there isn't a reason for it?
Well, in the process of acceptance, there isn't a reason.
I know, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. What if, what if, you know, you move to that person's point of view and there is no good reason for they're doing what they're doing.
Right.
You know, could there be acceptance there?
Yeah, well, that would be where I would find it in the moment. But I didn't find it in the moment. I found it in the phone call this morning. I really got that the process I do is a process of finding a reason to, finding a rationale, finding a way for this ego, basically, to connect to that instance and then make it okay.
Mm-hmm.
And just, it was so helpful to get that that is not practicing the process of acceptance, mm-hmm. which has nothing to do with this ego,
mm-hmm.
or that ego.
Mm-hmm. So what is practicing the process of acceptance?
Well, I think that I'm not sure I've ever practiced it. So, but it doesn't have to do with finding any reasons.
Mm-hmm.
It has to do with a way of being in the world,
mm-hmm.
that the world is as it is, and to be there of it, and not be the person who's making decisions about what's okay and what's not okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's not referencing my perception of it.
Mm-hmm. It's not, that's interesting. How would you say to be of it? You know, that's interesting because to me that implies an acknowledgement that you're not outside of what's happening.
Right.
You're a part of what's happening. And that's really different, isn't it, than putting oneself outside of it in some kind of relationship with it where we can feel like we know what's going on and then make some kind of judgment about it.
Yeah, and that thing of putting myself in somebody else's shoes, you know, if in any given moment that's kind of all I can do, then to accept that,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's the best I can do in this situation, that would be practicing the process of acceptance. In a different way than figuring out a way to accept that person.
Yeah, it would be. It would just be on the level of what's going on with you. You know, we often talk about that little exercise of moving to that person's point of view as an exercise of compassion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, anyway, that's interesting. It's, like finding, like seeing how another person sees things.
And I think it's a really valuable process.
Mm-hmm.
I just saw in myself that it is serving me in a way, is referencing me in a way that is not what I believe is the process of acceptance.
Yeah, well, still leaving somebody outside of life in relationship to it, deciding about it,
right.
Having meanings about it,
right?
Because now you have found the reason why it's okay to accept
it's okay.
It. Yeah.
So, and which implies there are okay things and not okay things, and
mm-hmm.
this one, I found a way to make this one okay,
mm-hmm.
and. I just had never seen that, you know, and it was just so helpful to catch that.
Yeah, it's interesting.
And again, I'm not sure that I know what the practice of acceptance is, but I have a clear sense that that's what I'm doing is often not it.
It's not it, and your sense is, at least so far, that it doesn't have anything to do with meaning.
Right.
And reasons.
Right.
And it's just being a part of.
Yeah.
Or to say the negative, not being separate from.
And it's not being conditional.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still, what I'm doing essentially is establishing the conditions that make it okay,
mm-hmm.
which is very different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really different.
And I saw another piece of it yesterday. I saw how ego can use it too. I was disapproving of someone's behavior and having a little rant as I was doing a task. Somebody in the news, you know. And all of a sudden I got, I do that.
Mm-hmm.
Just a different venue, different way.
Mm-hmm.
And there was, I think there really was a moment of, oh, okay, got it. This people do this, human beings do this.
Mm-hmm.
And when I noticed what ego can do with that is turn that into, I'm just as bad as that person.
going right to the other
side. Right to the other side. Mm-hmm. So just, you know, to really catch the process that is not the process of acceptance, you know?
Yeah.
And then it's substituting. It's an ego substitute for accepting. Yeah. Just feels like a whole sort of new awareness.
And in that one, it sounded like there was an actual place of acceptance when, I see.
Yes, in the moment.
Yeah. And but then there was a slide out of that.
Yeah, and there was I think even in the moment, Justin, there was a kind of undercurrent of, uh-oh, you know, me too.
Mm-hmm. I see.
That's bad, me too. Mm-hmm. So it's just really helpful to catch that. Mm-hmm.
Cool, thank you.
Thank you.
Ryan.
I've been looking at asking for help. Not to relate to what was going on. The idea of living in that the snow is falling and they're like, that's, I did my entire education like that. and I can look and see the moment where that process started. Uh-huh. And I was in fifth grade and I went to a new school and I had a psychotic teacher. Like, the sort of person who should never be allowed around children. Her career ended when she was assaulted by a group of fifth graders, my classmates, after I had already transferred schools.
Wow.
And I had finished all my work, and a guy who Ms. Hatwood asked me for help on her math. And so I started showing her how to do the problems, and that led to me being taken out and screamed at for 10 or 15 minutes for undermining the teacher and disrespecting her authority and all of that sort of stuff. And from then on, there was this giant, I don't want to have to do whatever it is they're telling me I'm doing. Right? So just a desire to avoid the fact that I do have to do this stuff. Mm-hmm. And then that was paired with the fear of not getting the stuff done.
And before that, just to make sure I'm staying with you, before that wasn't going on particularly. You got your stuff done. You were interested enough to help somebody else.
I never got less than an A before that. Mm-hmm. And I lived in a library. And then after that, I was a straight C student until like my sixth year of college or something like that. So it had a profound effect on my experience of it.
If doing what you're being asked to do results in traumatic experiences, is that kind of what it is? Then you don't want to do it.
Well, no, I don't think that. I think that that's how it came about.
Okay.
But that was never how it was experienced after that. It's just, I don't want to do it. Because somebody told me I have to do it. I don't want to do it.
So you're not sure, or you weren't aware of kind of what was underneath that was driving.
Yeah, there was no sort of like, I don't want to do it because.
Right.
It wasn't that sophisticated at all. It was just, well, I don't want to do it.
I'm doing it.
Uh-huh. Oh, these people are telling me I have to do it. I won't do it.
Okay, therefore, I don't do it.
Yeah, therefore, I avoid doing it, and I avoid anything that would remind me of the fact that I have to do it, and I avoid everything else in my life that's going to remind me of the fact that there are things that I want to do in the future that are contingent upon me doing this, mm-hmm. and I just live in avoidance until the point where it's getting so close to the time that I have to do it that the fear of not getting it done actually overwhelm any information coming in about the fact that I don't want to do it.
Why are you so relating? Anybody else?
And that, I mean, the extreme of that is, over the course of my collegiate career, I wrote hundreds of pages of papers. Was working towards a minor in philosophy at one point and took a bunch of history classes and psychology and more English than I really wanted to. But they kept finding ways to make me. And none of those papers were written before midnight. Mm. And none of them before the last 2 days before the due date. Right. And it didn't matter if it's 20, 30 page term paper, it doesn't matter. I'm writing it midnight, the day before it's due. Mm-hmm. I will finish at 6 or 7 a.m. I will
crawl into the class to hand it in.
Yeah, and I'll be the last one, and I'll have the right cover page. I mean, this is literally a description of my theology term paper. This is the last one that I wrote.
Well, don't forget where you're going, but it's just interesting that while that's going on, you're pursuing a minor in philosophy, you're taking extra history classes. You know, so there's still the interest. There's still an aliveness in there. It's just that it's being the way that it can, the possibility of it going in a way that really takes care of you is being taken away.
Yeah. I was the student who would do all the homework and not show up to turn it in because I didn't want to go to class.
I see.
And, you know, miss midterms and stuff like that, which is probably why I ended up doing a math degree, because they didn't care. As long as you showed up for the final, I could prove that you knew the stuff.
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, and the real extreme of that is I once learned, like, almost 2 months worth of calculus in 48 hours. And that involved, because I learned all the techniques, right? That involved studying for 2 to 3 hours and sleeping for an hour, for 48 hours straight, showing up, loaded up on all the caffeine in the world for the midterm, passing out after that, and being sick as a dog for 3 weeks after that, because I've been so destructive to my body in the course of that process. And that's just how I lived for the entirety of my sort of college experience.
And so underneath that, there's something that's driving that you couldn't see. In other words, like kind of like when Jim was talking like that, there's that process that's going on. The person's standing behind the window, and the person who's outside is heading in this direction that feels out of control, but like there's no contact, there's no ability to influence. And like in that case, there's a process that's happening, a real particular process that's going on. That applies in your case also, it sounds like, but you weren't aware of what was going on there that was making it all.
Yeah, there's zero awareness. Mm-hmm. And it's just two facets of ego playing against each other.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so there's suffering in avoidance, and mm-hmm. then there's suffering in the experience of then having to do everything at the last minute and being afraid, just terrified the entire time that I'm pursuing things that I actually enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I wrote this big term paper overnight for theology. I loved that class. It was one of the best classes I've ever had. You know, it was 6 hours a day of theology for 3 weeks straight, which sounded like the worst possible thing to me going into it, and turned out to be fabulous.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't get to enjoy any moment of those experiences, even though there's a recognition that there's the possibility of joy in it, because all of my attention is turned over to either avoiding mm-hmm. doing the things that I have to do, or being afraid that they're not going to get done.
Mm-hmm. So what does it feel like is needed in order to, or inside, what needs to be taken care of in order for you to be able to still have the, you know, the interest and the curiosity, and it sounds like a real joy in learning and seeing things and like that. And have that happen within a context and a process that takes care of the human also.
Well, my experience is, coming back, is that it's just the willingness to ask for help.
Okay.
And the recognition that I can't do anything, really. So I can't get any of the things done.
Mm-hmm.
Because I point at some facet of ego. Mm-hmm. Some egotistical process.
So when you're saying I now, you're talking about the separate self.
Yeah.
Basically.
Kind of always. I have difficulty not talking about the separate self. But, you know, so I can't do any of it.
Mm-hmm.
So if the learning is going to happen, if the demonstration of the learning, whatever project or whatever test is going to happen, then sort of the intelligence that animates will come and attend to that.
Yeah, my sense is that's what was going on in the beginning.
Well, that's what definitely was my experience of education before
that.
I got educated about what education is about.
I mean, it's like it's natural to you. It's kind of like it's just happening. You're just learning, and it's just happening kind of all on its own.
Yeah, learning is the only thing that's actually interesting to me. You know, as a being, that's all
right.
Just 100% devoted to learning stuff.
Right.
For reasons I don't understand.
Right.
But
that feels completely natural.
Yeah, and when I'm just there to learn, I'm not doing anything.
Mm-hmm.
Right? There's no me who is seeking out this information. Life is just happening.
Mm-hmm.
And the end result of that is that I know some things that I didn't know before. Mm-hmm. Or I've done a project that wasn't done before.
Mm-hmm.
Or, but the asking for help is the most essential part for me, which is, you know, very much the individual, well, my conditioning is very much the individualist. I don't, you know.
That's what you learned. You learned you had to be that.
Yeah. And, you know, so the notion of asking for help is alien to mm-hmm. my conditioning, I think for a really good reason,
mm-hmm.
Which is that it's really helpful.
Right. Well, and I'm sensing, I mean, would you say that, like, when you ask for help, does that take you back to that place of where it's natural and it's just happening?
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like to ask for help, like you say, it's completely alien to the I that you had to become in order to kind of survive that educational experience and probably other things also. So if you ask for help, it like kind of blows it up, you know, it bumps it to the side or something, and suddenly you're back here. Not as an I, but just in your authentic learning or whatever, just kind of, and things are happening.
Mm-hmm. And that's exactly the experience. So just, can I be having a different experience right now?
Mm-hmm.
And almost always the answer is, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then everything is different.
Mm-hmm.
And then I don't have to do anything. I don't do anything. Things happen.
Yeah, they just happen, yeah. So it's not even so much about like whatever help you might get. It's just in that asking, you're basically, it's like what we talk about with behavior changes.
Mm-hmm.
You're basically acting from a different place than that karmic orientation that you had to take on. And that opens the door to the authentic experience of life, which is, it's just happening.
Mm-hmm.
And then everything starts to flow again.
Yeah, the asking is the help.
Is the what?
Is the help.
Is the help.
Hmm.
Yeah.
The moment the question is asked, the door is open.
You're already there.
Yeah, a very different experience is going to
mm-hmm.
happen. And the neat thing is, of course, I don't actually ask the question either. The question just arises.
Mm-hmm.
Can I have a different experience? Yes, I can. Here's a different experience. Here's all the white one pulling.
Mm-hmm.
And it just does its thing.
Yeah, because the karmic person would never do that.
Yeah.
Right? It's just arising out of life, and there's an interesting place in there where there's a choice point where you can go with the old karmic, the independence, or you can go with what is arising in life, and you're learning that if you go with what's arising in life, you go to life and you start having the experience that you really enjoy instead of the one that's been so difficult for you.
Mm-hmm. And the only thing it feels like that I can do is just not get in the way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's of course I do everything I can to get in the way of that process
right.
happening. But more and more and more, it seems to be the case that it actually doesn't matter whether or not I want to get in the way of that process. It's just going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that question is going to arise, and then things are going to be different, and then ultimately, life is going to be a lot better.
Uh-huh.
And that experience, actually, of the shifting from avoidance to fear, to avoidance to fear, to avoidance to fear, back and forth, was really the main thing that brought me to practice, because at some point the question arose, can it be different than this?
Mm-hmm.
You know, can is there a possibility where there's a life that doesn't involve either avoiding something or being afraid of avoiding something?
Yeah, you know what I just saw? I don't know if this is your experience or not, but it's almost like everything you're talking about, see how to say it, it's all a part of that learning process. So like this karma that came up that you experienced through your education and other places probably, that's, it's basically a big math problem. And and the way to solve that problem is to basically get out of the way and let life solve it in the way that is natural, that you know is natural, you know? So it's almost like even that is something that's a part of it, it's kind of gotten folded into it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just the same process is unfolding.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, the way that I think about it is that intelligence wants people to pay attention to intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
And so as soon as the crack opens a little bit, it's just unraveling.
It's just right there.
all that's been heaped upon our experience.
Thank you.
That was interesting. I also had a psychotic fifth grade teacher. I swear. And it was the first day of school, and I did some little thing that she didn't like, and she screamed at me for 15 minutes in front of everyone else. Whew, whoa. Interesting.
Still there.
So my karmic reaction was to go even deeper into being benign, you know, withdraw, avoid, be passive, indirect, and my whole is part of, as far as I can tell, very much of my practice has been inching my way out of that.
Because you got pushed into it really hard.
Yeah. And just in this previous conversation, I saw it. And I saw kind of the genesis or the survival that that little girl was tossed into, and the only tool she had to get out of that, or to protect herself, was to be invisible, basically, in every way except physically, sports.
There was one outlet for you.
It's a terrible student, relative to innate capability.
Right. And you're forced. And so, oh, go ahead. Well, you were forced into that. Kind of on the way that, you're forced into that.
Yeah.
It wasn't natural to you to be that way. But that was
not to that extent. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, because like you said, like innate ability doesn't. Your innate ability would have you not be. You wouldn't be a poor student. But that choice, the choice to just be who you were, was taken away from you. So you had to kind of withdraw into this nine orientation and just try to be invisible.
Yeah.
And you said your practice, you feel like a lot of what your practice has been kind of inching out of that place, kind of trying to get out of that place more back to who you are authentically.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's showing up a lot right now with the work with the Zen Awareness Coach. My commitment there is to be scrupulously honest. And I will start talking, and then I'll interrupt and I'll say, the editor, monitor, the one who wants to spin what I say is talking to me. So let me just back up and try again. And it's been really fun. I'm really enjoying it. Just, to the best of my ability to be as present and as accurate as I can, and as direct. It's hard work.
Yeah.
I hyperventilate.
You hyperventilate. And is the reason that it's so important is because it's so.
It's because the suffering of not being. Of being afraid of that is just, I can't, I don't want to do it anymore.
Yeah.
This is an example of pushing past it. It might not show up anywhere but in here, and that's just mine.
You mean the alternative?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I might not act any different, make particularly different choices, but it's this person is going to have a different. I don't know what the word is there, maybe. Less fear, less.
Different place to live. Yeah, I kind of think about somebody who's just kind of been pushed to the side. You know, you got to kind of be over here and not be seen.
Yeah. It's, you know, in all the Enneagram work, it's been hard for me to see. You know, my stress point is 6, and which is the core point of the fear-based triad. And it's been hard for me to see that, to see how this person manifests sickness.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a real avoidance.
Mm-hmm.
Well, here it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's been there all the time.
Yeah.
So, thank you.
Yeah, it seems like you're, and all of us, that you're fortunate in being able to see what the steps are that need to be taken. You said it's hard work.
It is. It's hard work.
But you can see what needs to be done.
Yeah, and as was also pointed out in the last conversation, there's a real sense that I'm not doing it.
Mm-hmm.
The practice has done it.
The practice has done it.
The Sangha has done it. Is doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And the only, I guess, as I was telling the coach, just staying here, just not making a choice to go away, is about the only thing, only aspect of it that I can claim, I guess.
Yeah, and it's everything.
Yeah, and it is.
Yeah, because that's exactly what was taken away from you, is the power to stay. You had to go. You had to go off and, you know, not be someone.
I didn't remember that experience, that fifth grade experience, for many years. And then one day, I was sitting in here, and it just all came back.
Just came back.
And that was kind of it for right there. And then over time, especially lately, and especially in that last conversation, just seeing where that hidden, passive, indirect, invisible tendency grew up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And took over.
Keeping honest.
It's so important, isn't it? Yeah, it's critical. Karen.
I wanted to talk a little bit about what I've been working with this week and a lot. And in a nutshell, I guess, there are, I've been looking at the process of dissatisfaction, I've noticed it on and off throughout the week,
mm-hmm.
and there's also a lot of willingness there, but I've just been, you know, I've been seeing it come up, you know, like yesterday, because...
Like yesterday?
Like, I'm used to Saturday being the free fun day. Not like you have this, you know, this big, huge work job that you're all of a sudden doing. And so, and yet it also felt like peace storming. You know, I mean, it was like these two things, but...
It's really like, it's like two people, isn't it?
Yeah.
There's someone with a lot of willingness who's looking and doing practice, and then there's someone resisting.
Yeah. And the resistance comes in, I think, with just physical tiredness, like, or physical... Not used to doing things the way that it's done here. And so I've continued to, what keeps coming up, and there's been a lot of emotion. And there's been a lot of emotion just arising today in group, you know, it's just listening. But what keeps coming through that is really helping a lot is it just keeps coming through to just let it be. Let everything that's here just be. You know, the whole, whatever that is, the fear that, you know, they're not doing it right, that, just everything. I mean, a myriad of things that arise to
just let it all be,
and that, and I think that's when the emotion comes, just let it be, and then there's all this emotion, and then somehow that seems to take me somewhere else, you know, like out of the, it's just like all of a sudden the dissatisfaction isn't there because it's just letting it all be there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the emotion, is it a relief? Or is it...
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, there's no... Yeah, it's just eye faucets.
I see.
Eye faucets. And...
So it's all been bottled up in there, in trying to do it right, or whatever, those things that you said, and then just letting it be.
Yeah.
It's not being held on to anymore.
Yeah.
And the experience of the relief of that comes out in the hypothesis.
Yeah, and it has a really wide application for me, because, you know, when I arrived here, I arrived with a fair amount of baggage. You know, like unwanted baggage.
Unwanted baggage. You had your, you had the stuff you needed in the other suitcase. Stuff you didn't really have to bring along, but anyway.
And but it's sort of, it's informed that too, to just let all of that be. You know, it's just like, I mean, I don't know where it's all going or where I'm even going right now with any of it. Nowhere. Mm-hmm. Hopefully to just hear.
Mm-hmm.
But it just seems to be what's been going on this week, is this process of getting to a point, you know, a suffering place, and then just hearing, just let this all be here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, jumping, and it kind of takes me out of the person that's experiencing the dissatisfaction or the whatever, and just lets it be.
Mm-hmm.
And keeps doing, you know, the next thing, whatever that is.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like has a feel of cleaning things up. Does it feel that way to you? It's kind of like, you know, here comes something that's been not let be, that's been resisted maybe or held onto in some way or something, and then you just let be, and then there's a release of energy that goes with that. And then here comes the next one that wants that same treatment.
Yeah, it feels like that. It feels like Yeah, even, I mean, even from how, just on so many levels, sleeping, you know, like getting to bed at 9 o'clock and just sleeping, you know, it seems like for endless hours. And, you know, eating the wonderful food. I mean, it all just feels like, on some level, that it's really taking care of the being, mm-hmm. you know. And mm-hmm.
And it's happening on an emotional level, too.
Yeah, yeah. It feels like on some level that peace is being restored. I don't know how, but it just feels like on some level peace is being restored.
Yeah, well, I sure get that. I mean, I think that you're describing the how, aren't you? Of just, you're just being with what arises. You're not resisting, you're not trying to make it go away, you're not trying to fix it, you're not figuring it out. You're just letting it be.
Well, and it feels like there isn't any other option. Mm-hmm. You know, it just feels like there's nothing to do about any of it.
Yeah. And that option of not having an option comes through practice, doesn't it?
Yeah, and the structure here. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's just nowhere to go. Except yeah. for just to be with it all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that really helps to let it go.
Seems to.
It makes sense that there would be resistance going on. There's a lot in that that it seems like would threaten the system that is there to keep you suffering.
I don't know. I don't know. I kind of just went off. I don't feel a lot of resistance right now, but yeah, I have seen that come up. This week. I mean, if I wanted to put it in a nutshell, I would say I noticed the dissatisfaction, which manifests, that's what's manifesting as a resistance, and then there's just letting it all be there, mm-hmm. and then there's a just eye faucets, and then...
Yeah. It's kind of like, you know, like conditioning has gotten, you know, it's off the playing field, you know, it's not getting play right now. And it's sitting back there going, geez, you know, this stinks, I want this, and this. You know, that dissatisfaction is over there.
Yeah.
It's not actually your experience. That's just something that's arising in your awareness as you're practicing with these other things and just letting them be.
Yeah. And I think about, you know, there's not, I don't even have the energy to go check email, but I would I'd be like, you know, checking email is for me kind of like smoking cigarettes used to be, you know, like it's just like a habit. So, but that's not even, you know, there's not even that. Well, that just isn't going to happen, mm-hmm. you know, checking email.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and like you said before, so you're stuck with what's here.
I'm just, yeah, it's just...
And with the one option that you have, really, the one not-suffering option, which is just to let it be.
Yeah, and that's what I keep hearing. I get to it ramps up to a point of, Karen, just let it be. And it's like, okay. Eye faucets, and then I guess that's it.
Thank you, Sequoia.
What just arose for me is the thing about not having any options, and I just thought about that is there's always an option, and there's something else that's making a choice to be here.
There's always an option to suffer.
Mm-hmm. And to, you know, just get to that place where there's, you know, that other option isn't going to take you where you want to go.
Yeah, it becomes a non-option.
It comes in non-option.
With practice, right. With awareness, because it's just, I mean, how could we choose that, really?
Yeah, and just seeing, let's see. I've been going through a period, I could just relate to, I mean, of course, everybody was saying this morning, and it's so helpful to see how non-personal and all of this is, you know, how there's just, I could insert myself in all the content, I've been going through this period where it feels like a lot of creative energy has been present, and the difference is, it's all kind of just coming. The difference is there's an opportunity and a willingness to like express some of it. It's like it's the insides and the outsides starting to become. It feels like a mm-hmm. becoming more congruent.
Mm-hmm. So before it might have been safe to sort of quote express it on the inside.
But
the outside was a different place.
Right.
It's not safe out there.
Yeah.
But now it's like the insides have become the outsides to some degree. And so that you can, it's allowed, it's starting to be allowed out there also.
It's interesting. I don't even know sometimes it's even allowed, was allowed to be expressed inside.
Inside,
mm-hmm. you know. And just a little content, I was just seeing that, you know, as a little kid, there were two options, paint by number or color books that you had to stay inside the lines, you know, and that was it. Or paper dolls where you could cut out around the lines.
So nothing, no blank pieces of paper.
No blank pieces of paper. That was like dangerous or something, you know, it's just like, and to, let's see, what's, that's not life. You know,
life's not like that.
It's not like that. And that's what I was just seeing in what folks were talking about this morning. It's like how we're so conditioned so early on. I mean, it just goes right for that place that cuts off our lifeline.
Mm-hmm.
And
Because if it can strangle that creativity,
yeah.
a person's is pretty much guaranteed to suffer.
Right, and that creativity is whatever it is for all of us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether it's learning new things or you mm-hmm. know art or whatever the heck it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's just to just see how that is just that's its purpose.
mm-hmm.
And to have an opportunity to just to snatch that back out of those hateful system and reclaim what's there for life authentically to express to that person is a really joyful thing.
It's a really joyful thing. Yeah. Makes for a happy human in there, doesn't it?
Yeah. And then seeing, as was talked about in that first conversation, how to bring that expression into all of life. It's like, well, what's next? That question, what's next? Like I have an experience of being able to do that. Like say when I'm maybe doing a piece of art and I can trust that what's next, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But to move it into
other areas
is like, wow, that's just so, you know.
But it's all art, isn't it?
It is all art, and to, you know, as Sherry was saying it, and I, gosh, it's possible to be in that joyful place no matter what the content, you know, whether it's emails. Oh my God, that's just like, are you kidding me? I could sit there with an
male and have that same kind of joyful, you know. But I think it's worth an exploration and worth a practice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because yeah, that would be really, I mean, what's happening already is really pretty groovy, but that would be very exciting to have it be so you don't have to, it doesn't have to take a certain form.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be like a formal art, for example.
Right.
But that all of life is art and you could have the same relationship with it. That would be really exciting.
That would be, you know, and I got clear this morning on that whole thing about the time or this limited period of time and so much more to do than one can do. And especially if for my particular karma, if someone adds a timer in there, like this happens with meal preparation a lot, like this has to be done by 9:30. It's like, oh. You know, it just ups the ante, and it's like my experience is like I was going to have 48 people come to dinner in about 2 hours, and I would decide to go, or what my coping mechanism is, I would decide to go alphabetize the recipes because it's so controllable.
Meanwhile, the time's coming. Got to get to the grocery store.
Let me just organize the recipes first. And so, so just to even have that made clear this morning is so helpful to just know that, you know, oh yeah, okay, so when that, not that I even need to change it, but just to bring more awareness to it, like, oh, okay, that's that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's that one to feel comfortable in. Have it all nice in a little box. And so, anyway, I don't know. It's just, I'm just feeling grateful in a big time way that I haven't, or I'm just feeling grateful in a big time way for practice. That, wow, what an act of love.
Mm. That's neat.
To pull us all out.
Mm-hmm. Out of those places.
And bring us here. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you all.